The first time Congress ever met together in September 1774 in Philadelphia, they opened in prayer. A local clergyman, Jacob Duché, said the prayer, and he read the scripture reading for that day, which was Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord. George Washington was there. Sam Adams was there. John Adams was there. America's founding fathers agreed with Congress opening in prayer, and Congress has been praying ever since, but not quite as Christianly or fervently and so forth. Fast forward to January 30 in the year of our Lord, I love saying that, 2024, and Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, asked Pastor Jack Hibbs, a California-based pastor, to say the prayer, and many on the left blew a gasket. Well, we want to welcome Jack Hibbs to this program. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Pastor Jack, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Jerry, I want to thank you for the invitation, brother. It's an honor.
Oh, well, the honor is all mine. Okay, why did the left blow a gasket? Well, you can get into that. First, why don't you tell us the setup of the whole thing, and then you could tell us what you prayed, and then you could tell us about the fallout.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Speaker of the House, whoever that may be, at any given time, has the freedom, the right, the opportunity. You said it well in the setup. The historical responsibility from the time of Jacob Duché to open of Congress in prayer. It's been going on for over 249 years. And what happened was Mike Johnson, who's a born-again believer, loves the Lord Jesus, I was honored to be contacted by him and to be asked to open up the 118th Congress with prayer. And so, you know, Jerry, there's rules that you have. It can't be very long. You got to have so many words and all that stuff. And so I wanted to abide by that. But what I simply did to be very careful and historical and honoring to God, Jerry, is that I basically took two-thirds of my prayer and I lifted it from the historical prayers of those clergy before me. And one of them was Duchesne. And I inserted a part of his prayer. I inserted a part of another clergy prayer from 1774 as well. And I prayed that prayer. And it was in the prayer, Jerry, that caused 26 members of Congress to, just as you put it, blow a gasket. They issued a letter of investigation on the speaker's process of selecting pastors. They then called me an unqualified minister. They called me one who is ill-prepared to represent the nation. And the funny thing, Jerry, is that what they attacked was actually historical prayers I just borrowed from our history, and they couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it. So, 26 members of Congress condemned me, and they told me I would not be invited back to Washington, D.C. to do such a thing.
Wow. One of those 26 members was Ilhan Omar. They said in the letter they wrote, they said, Speaker Johnson was guilty, said the congressman, of using, quote, the platform of the guest chaplain to lend the imprimatur of Congress to an ill-qualified hate preacher who shares the speaker's Christian nationalist agenda and his antipathy toward church-state separation, end quote. You know what? We could actually, we could almost exegete their letter in effect. Okay, first of all, ill-qualified. You're a reverend, right? Or you're a pastor with a Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills?
Yes, sir. For 35 years, you know, we started a home Bible study. I came out of the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Southern California, and what happened was we like Calvary Chapel is known to do, you start a home group in a neighborhood. And so that's what Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, wanted, you know, how his church is to get started. Patterned after the book of Acts, we did that, started with six people. Lisa and I were two of them in 1990. And this last Sunday, we had our normal services. 35 years later, Jerry, we had 10,000 adults and about another 4,000 kids.
Wow.
And that's a normal, typical Sunday. And we have 2,000 plus people on Wednesdays. And I've had the honor to speak and be on at Liberty University. And I've been a faculty member of Summit with Jeff Myers and Dr. Frank Turek, and on it goes. Here's why I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified because I spoke absolute truth. And it was biblically based truth. For example, it was said of me, Jerry, that I broke five rules in the first sentence. And the first sentence was simply this: Father, I come, Father. First of all, Father is gender insensitive, I was told. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. That's evangelism. And I come to you in Jesus' name, the Lord and Savior of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. That's my opening portion of the prayer, and completely drove them crazy. But I must say, in defense, because I know our time is limited, in defense of other members of Congress, they tremendously came to my aid. In fact, many of them afterwards just scooped me up and said, "We've not heard a biblically based prayer here." Wow. In years. And I thought, how sad is that?
Yeah.
Because you know better than anybody how our nation was founded.
Well, yeah, I mean, so many of the prayers today are like, to whom it may concern, you know, they're namby-pamby, you know. You said earlier that you had at least two-thirds of the prayer was based on ministers. Yeah. From long ago. You mentioned Reverend Jacob Duché, he was a pastor at Christ Church in Philadelphia. He was the first one to preach in that first Congress, or to pray, actually. Who else? Can you name a couple of other names from historical sources that you drew from, if you can remember?
I drew from Jonathan Witherspoon. Witherspoon was one of our founding fathers, but also a clergyman.
Right.
He was an actual ordained minister.
Oh, yeah. In fact, somebody in England, Horace Walpole, once said in Parliament, "Cousin America has run off with a Presbyterian parson." And that's exactly who you're talking about, John Witherspoon.
Yep.
Anybody else Correct. You want to mention that you can remember offhand, other ministers you may have quoted?
You know, that was it.
Okay.
There was, I did lift though, not a congressman, but, Jerry, you'll have to help me with this. It was either one of the opening prayers of George Washington's military career, or it might have been a section of his departure from office in that beautiful moment when he prayed for the nation. The point being,
that we need to imitate Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The divine author of our blessed religion. Okay, I see.
The divine author of our blessed religion. So what happened was, Jerry, I gave them American history, which, because they do not know American history, they didn't recognize it, Jerry. This is fundamental.
Yeah.
This is fundamental to the problems of our nation.
Yep.
They did not recognize American history, fundamental history. So thus, they thought I was a radical.
Wow.
They thought that I was a radical. When I asked also... and you'll recognize this. And now I'm quoting the best I can, but the prayer is written down. People can read it online. It said this: Lord, forgive us of our national sins and cause us to repent and turn toward you. And that, my goodness, I don't know if it was the LA Times, the New York Times. How dare he suggest that our nation needs to repent of its sins? Who's he?
Wow.
And I was simply lifting the Genesis core value of our scriptures, the Bible and our founding fathers. How many times, Jerry, did our leaders call us to a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer?
15 times. 15 times during the war. 15 times.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, now they called you a hate preacher. Where's the hate?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Where's the hate? Where's the hate when, for example, they call me homophobic, and yet why is it that our church has a ministry to those who are either struggling with the homosexual lifestyle or gender confused? We have a loving, protected ministry. We've had it for over 20 years. How is it that we see homosexuals or LGBTQ come to our church and give their hearts to Christ? How is this hateful? And then how is it hateful for me to... they labeled me something against Jews. They didn't use the word anti-Semitic, as far as I know, but they suggested that I hate the Jews, which was remarkable. Our church has gone to Israel 23 times.
Wow.
And supports many, many efforts in Israel to bring the gospel to Christ, because Paul told us, provoke the Jew to jealousy. Give them Jesus Christ. I love the Jewish people. And by the way, side note, since October 7th, by the way, that horrible day,
yes,
our church has become the Southern California, and I'm happy and humbled to say it, the epicenter of Jews coming from the Los Angeles area to hear the gospel since October 7th.
Wow.
And Jerry, I'm not going to mention this gentleman's name, but a prominent Jew in our nation in the LA area gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And then he told me, how is it that I have never seen in the scriptures before that Jesus is none other than Messiah? I can't believe it. And the golden or the silver lining to October 7th is I've met Israel's Messiah. How can I be a Jew hater when my heart is for all people? But you listen, this is how they work. If they can't understand you, they label you. If they can't figure you out, they'll condemn you. And I got to tell you, I'm delighted to be with you, Jerry, in the element of being like Jesus, who we're supposed to imitate. People hate us. They hate us because we love.
Wow.
You know, they hate us, and we love them. And so, yep, it's, I tell you, I'm grateful to Congressman Mike, Speaker Mike. He has been so railed on because of my prayer. But, you know, I'd rather get in trouble among evil ranks than get the applause of heaven, that's for sure. Or the applause of earth, that's for sure.
Wow. One of the labels that they, you know, have smeared you with, or tried to smear you with, is being a Christian nationalist. What does that even mean, and are you one?
Yeah, first of all, I'd love to know what that means, honestly. Sir, I'm not being cute or funny here. I would imagine if you were Dietrich Bonhoeffer back in the days of Nazi Germany, who loved Germany, Bonhoeffer loved Germany, but he loved Jesus more. But he was a German, and he wanted the best for the German people. Does that mean that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian nationalist? William Carey, who is a missionary from England to India, because he loved the Indian people in India and ministered in various regions of India, does that make William Carey a Christian nationalist regarding India? I don't know what they mean by that. Do I love the United States? I love the U.S. Constitution. I love the United States. It's my home. My heart grieves over the direction of our godless governments. And I say governments from state to national leadership. My heart breaks. I pray, I fast, our church does the same for this nation. We are, Jerry, a godless nation. We have, it looks as though we've ejected God from this city square. No more Ten Commandments. But if somebody offers a prayer in Congress to the spirits of Gaia, they're applauded. If somebody stands up and shakes tambourines at that podium in prayer to some cosmic oneness, they're applauded. But if I say that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and we need to repent of our national sins, I'm hated. And so, look, I'm honored. I by God's grace, he used my mouth and my heart.
Amen.
And if that's a Christian nationalist, then you know what? I guess we need more of them. But I don't know what they mean when they say that. Do they think that I'm running around with a Bible and an AR-15 with a Trump hat on, an American flag tied around my waist? I don't do that. Is that what they want? Well, they're not going to get that. But they will get the gospel, and they will get accurate American history when I open my mouth.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. JackHibbs.com for more information, and make sure to check out his book, Living in the Days of Deception. Jack, thank you so much. All the best.
All the best, Jerry.